Welcome aboard, space travelers. Please lower your harness and keep your hands and arms inside the vehicle at all times. Prepare for blast off.
Hello and welcome to the just checking September episode of that Disneyland Paris podcast with myself, Nick,
and myself, Paul.
We're squeaking it in. We've got a few days left. We are slightly behind schedule. That's mostly my fault. Although we were both busy.
Yeah,
we both had things to do. So
yeah,
you know, it is a little bit later than we'd like to, but we'll try and get a bit more on schedule this month. But the important thing is we'll get it out in September. So that's what we're going to do. It's going to be fine. Where do you want to start?
I'm loving it.
Okay.
Let's start with that.
The biggest news for French people.
Well, apparently so, according to your facts.
Yeah, well, so let me caveat this. I mean, obviously, if you haven't guessed, we're going to be talking about McDonald's. But I used to work with, work with a few French people in my office. But there was a conversation we was having one day, and the discussion of McDonald's just came up in conversation. And he said that France is the second biggest consumer of McDonald's, just behind the US. And I think it's been actually neck and neck at times over the years. But it is super popular. The French love McDonald's. And it's also, I mean, I was going to say it's also why there's so many. But, I mean, you could say that about a lot of countries, including ours. But
yeah,
I would say if you actually walk around Paris, even if you walk around Gare du Nord, you're never far from a McDonald's, are you? Or a McCafe.
No, and that's the added bonus of being in France, is you've got the McCafes.
Yeah. To anyone that's never been to a UK McDonald's, our McCafe is
it's coffee and muffins.
Yeah, that's it. That's like, you know, they call it McCafe, but it's nothing separate. Whilst in France, they've either got separate little restaurants that have just McCafe, or you're in a regular McDonald's and they have a separate area for McCafe.
Yeah.
It's quite something.
It's still a surprise when I go in that one at Disneyland Paris that there's this little extra bit on the side of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
It kind of feels like a train station.
Yeah, you know what? I know what you mean. It's a weird little kiosk, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really, when you think about it. Yeah. All right, so what do you want to talk about with McDonald's?
Well, we've speculated for months the talk of the Disney Village rebuild. Once we saw some of the artwork, that McDonald's was no longer going to be where it is. And lo and behold, it's not going to be where it is.
No, it's not.
Apparently, it's going to be next door.
Yes, it is.
Where next door? We're not quite sure.
No. And that's the only thing. I mean, I guess the whole, when you're thinking about this Disney Village transformation, and as you've said, they've released various bits of artwork over the time period since they first announced it of what it's going to kind of like appear like, but there's no detail in these images.
No.
You know, it's that very generic thing where you can see buildings, but you can't work out what the signs are.
They've used watercolors to make it blurry.
Make it look flashy and blurry. So we did say that we thought it was going, they were going to have one there, but you know, what was going to happen to it was unclear. But now we do. Now we have more of an idea. Now the problem is, as you've said, or as the press release said, it's going to be going next door to where McDonald's is now, which I think like adds its own questions to it. Because does it literally mean it's going next door to where it is now, which, you know, for those unaware, it's slightly behind the rest of the restaurants in the Disney Village. So is it just going next door there where there is some space? Or when they say it's going next door, do they mean it's replacing Rainforest Cafe, which is to the one side of it, or the Steakhouse, which is to the other side of it? Or I just thought, isn't that also where Hurricanes is?
Yeah.
So it could be part of that as well. I mean,
yeah,
it looks big, right?
Yeah.
It looks
it definitely needs to increase in size. And I think that's the biggest issue with the one that's there currently. I think it's a really nice building. They've got at the moment.
The building, so the image that they've supplied here, which I mean of course does say Artist Concepts only, it's one of their kind of, I don't know if they refer to it as this, but it's going to be definitely considered as an eco-friendly building. This is made of wood and glass. And I don't know, did you go to the London Olympics at all?
No, I went to the London Olympics in Coventry.
Okay, yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, I went to the football.
Yeah. So in the Olympic Park, they built a McDonald's for the Olympics, which was a temporary McDonald's. And that was made like this was wood and glass, with the idea being that after the Olympics had finished, they could, you know, basically break it all down and reuse it for another location. So that's what they did. So it was a temporary building that obviously looked permanent, but was very clever. So this looks the same. You know, it's big, it's wooden. What's interesting is this is at least three floors high.
Yeah.
So you've got the ground floor, which also has what they've got now, which is tables outside with umbrellas. Do they have umbrellas?
No, it's under kind of like a canopy, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So at least in this artist's impression, it's tables with umbrellas instead of like a canopy. So that goes the whole way along. And there's also some hedge features, including a topiary McDonald's M as well.
Are they going to include that as being an attraction? Because apparently they have with the trees outside the castle.
Oh, well then, yes, why not?
Yeah.
That's the way they're going, why not?
Yeah.
So you got that. Then you've got a tier above that, which has also got an outside dining area, as well as indoor dining that you can see.
A balcony.
Yeah.
A McDonald's balcony.
And then the level above that has another balcony and another inside eating area. So I would say it's got to be 3 or 4 times bigger than the current McDonald's they've got.
Yeah.
Because it's much wider.
Maybe we'll get a seat on race day.
Well, maybe be able to order at least on race day. I still don't know if there'll be enough tables.
Yeah.
But that's the biggest problem, is actually trying to get to a table to order.
Yeah.
I mean, it's needed. Like, the McDonald's that they've had since the late 90s is far too small for a destination of Disneyland Paris. You know, you think of the amount of tourists that go there on a daily basis, it's just too small. Yeah. You know, it doesn't matter what time of year you go, it's busy. You know, unless you're going in odd hours, like if you want to go and have your lunch at 3 o'clock, for example, or something like that, you are going to be queuing. You know, you go there after 5 o'clock, and between 5 and 10, you'll be queuing for a long time. You'll be waiting a long time for food once you do get served. It's crazy. So I think it's good. I think the building looks nice. I think it's good that they're making it a lot bigger.
I think it's needed. It's especially the one restaurant that. The easiest restaurant for hotel guests. for the most part. It's the first one that a lot of them will come to.
Yep.
That people go, oh, that's going to be quick.
Yep.
Like, I know Earl of Sandwich is there as well, I suppose. But people will recognise, especially Brits will recognise McDonald's. First of all, I think it needs to be bigger. And this is the first part of it, I suppose. We don't know what else is coming around it.
No, and I think the problem with like an Earl of Sandwich is they do just sell one thing.
Yeah.
Varieties are the same thing, but I mean, you know, it's not even like Subway where you get different bread options. The bread is the bread. You know, you get a choice of about 15 different sandwich fillings. I think there's one veggie option. Everything else is meat-based.
Yeah.
And salad. I know in the evening they have a few hot items as well.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I still find that strange that you can't buy those items during the day.
No, it makes no sense. I'm not, you know, with the greatest respect, I've never been in Earl of Sandwich and been queuing out the door. I've been in Earl of Sandwich and it's been a bit busy, but it's nothing compared to McDonald's, for example.
No.
So there's no kind of rhyme or reason why they couldn't do that, but they just obviously choose not to. But also, like you said, McDonald's is a global brand. You know, I don't think there's many countries that don't have a McDonald's. It's iconic. You know, everyone knows the sign for McDonald's. Everyone will recognize it when they see it. It's internationally recognized. Earl of Sandwich isn't. And so, you know, when that's kind of like the next kind of like fast foody option, people are more likely to go to McDonald's first because they know what to expect.
Yeah.
You know, definitely. Once people go to Earl of Sandwich, I mean, you know, people go to Earl of Sandwich all the time, right? But still, it's never going to be a McDonald's in terms of popularity. It's just not.
If you turn around to your kids, McDonald's or Earl of Sandwich, what are they going to say?
Well, yeah.
They're going to say McDonald's.
Yeah. And that's another thing as well. Another interesting thing that was said as part of this. So, work on the restaurant's going to begin next September. And it's scheduled to open in 2026. So that's, you know, about 18 months, they reckon.
Yeah.
It's early 2026. So, yeah, about 18 months, I reckon, that will be ready to go. But it's not going to, like, the McDonald's that's there now will continue to operate.
Yeah.
So don't worry. If you're listening to this thinking, well, I can't wait that long for McDonald's, don't worry. McDonald's will still be there. Yeah. It will just be the old small version. Which,
and I wonder what it will entail in the end, because I would imagine they're clearing that land for something. McDonald's is going to go, the old one.
Because what are they going to put there instead?
Yeah, I would imagine it's not going to be part of the village, because it's always been weird that that's been set back by itself.
Yes. So what are you saying?
Is it finally going to be that hotel that we've talked about for the last 4 years?
Oh, see what you mean. I mean, where the convention centre, not the convention centre, the, it's not a convention centre, but it's what they use for the race expo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where the random steps that led to nowhere.
Led to nowhere, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it could be. Or they just might try and put more stuff in that area. Full stop. So they might put something else next door. Because, I mean, McDonald's isn't tiny.
No.
It's got quite a big footprint where it is now. It's just this one is going to, you know, be two or three times at least the size. So there is plenty, you know, that could quite easily be taken up by another restaurant.
Yeah.
I wonder what else. I mean, it won't be another burger place.
No.
McDonald's won't want that to happen. So it won't be like a Quick or any of the other kind of brands like that. But I wonder if it might be, see what it's really missing, a pizza place.
Yeah.
Like a dedicated pizza place. Obviously, you can get very nice pizzas in Vapiano's. You can get pizzas over in the sports bar as well. But that's not what they're known
for. No, like a proper Italian pizza place. Yeah.
Or Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
But I reckon it could, you know, something of that ilk could certainly take up that space and do quite well. I was going to say Five Guys. Five Guys, it's still quite new. And it's, I mean, I think if anything, it might help if they open that area up with that new McDonald's. Because how many times have you spoken to people about, you know, Vapiano's, for example, and they don't know where it is?
Yep.
I didn't see it. Well, that's because you haven't walked around that way, because unless you're going there for that specifically, or Five Guys, you're not going to know it's there.
And honestly, I wasn't completely aware of that bit until I did the first race weekend, because that was the starting point.
Yeah.
I don't even think Five Guys and Vapiano's were there at that point.
Well, it used to be. That used to be where the bowling alley was. And again, like, no one talks about the bowling alley. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was just, it was so behind everything else. Unless you were going to the bowling alley, you'd never walk down there.
Yeah.
So, you know, that could be a reason to open up, because there's no reason why it's not more open in that regard. No. Like, it shouldn't, those places shouldn't be hidden away.
No.
And as part of the redesign, it makes sense to do that.
Yeah, it's not marked as part of the village. You walk underneath the sign when you go left out of the parks.
Yeah.
There's nothing other than saying thank you for visiting.
Yeah. Oh, no.
You leave that way.
It's badly designed.
Yeah.
You know, it's badly designed. I don't know why, considering like Five Guys and Vapiano's are both, you know, quite recognized chains in their own right. Yeah. Why they have never kicked up more of a fuss of the fact that they're advertised incredibly badly.
Yeah.
But
We shall see. We're still a long way off. We've not even got one restaurant opening in the new village.
Did I see that that's opening up in the end of this year?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
It's interesting. For me, and we'll talk a little bit more about this, I feel like there's a lack of imagination at Disneyland Paris at the moment, and we'll talk a little bit about it in the major story of the month. And it just feels like I want a Disney Springs or a Downtown Disney with some Disney imagination to it.
Yeah.
And at the moment, it doesn't feel like it. I want a Jock Lindsay's or something of that ilk, or an in-house restaurant that they've designed from scratch. And it just doesn't seem forthcoming at the moment. So
when was the last time they did something like that anywhere?
Yeah.
Really? I mean, Jock Lindsay's is probably the last.
Yeah. But the whole of Disney Springs has got a Disney touch to it for the most part. And it just feels like this is, we'll just give it out to somebody else and let them deal with it.
Yeah.
And see if they can fit it in where we've given it. And we'll see. We'll talk a little bit more about the lack of imagination in a minute, I'm sure.
Well, I don't know, because we don't talk about the plan of what we're going to be discussing on this show, but we've obviously been sharing bits and pieces since the last episode dropped. And one which I don't know when we first started talking about it, but we did discuss it a few episodes back, but we've had a bit more confirmation now, is the whimsical world of Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
Coming in the spring of 2024.
Yeah. Look, I've got no problems with the thought behind it in general. So it's a BMX show. Where Alice in Wonderland comes.
Yeah, I mean, when I think of Alice in Wonderland, I think, yeah, this, you know, where's the BMXs?
Yeah, I can just see the Cheshire Cat pulling a wheelie.
Yeah.
I it's unbelievable what they think is good for the parks.
I know. It's something, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is.
Like, don't get me wrong, it's not on the level of the Carl's Studio Tram Tour. I'm still not sure what to make of it. I just pulled down that stunt show building, please. I'm done with it now.
It does seem really weird, doesn't it? That of all the things they could have done, that's what they've decided to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just trying to break it down a little bit. So, number one, why is it themed around Alice in Wonderland? Now, yep. I say this as somebody who loves Alice in Wonderland.
Yep.
There's a daughter called Alice. We'd be all in. But I cannot understand why it's Alice in Wonderland themed, why it's where it is.
Yep.
And Alice in Wonderland themed, and why it's going to be a BMX stunt show.
Yeah. It just does not add up. It does not compute at all.
No. Absolutely nothing.
We've talked about how higgledy-piggledy the studios is as it is. And then you start throwing in a stunt show at the bottom of an Avengers land that has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I was just about to point that out. The fact is that this is in Avengers Campus.
Yeah.
Unless they create a facade to break off the two sections, you are literally walking from Avengers Campus into this arena.
Yeah.
To see this show. The press release says, in the spring of 2024, guests of Walt Disney Studios Park will be invited to step into the topsy-turvy and colourful world of Alice in Wonderland during an exclusive new stage show that will offer a modern and flamboyant twist on the beloved Disney animation classic. That's interesting as well. So they've ignored the live-action ones that were very successful. Bearing in mind, Alice in Wonderland was a box office bomb, and Alice in Wonderland 2010 was a massive financial hit. They're ignoring that, which is interesting. Children and grown-ups alike will get to discover an energy-packed musical show that will bring together various types of performers. To top it all off, they will have the unique opportunity to influence the outcome of this show. What, do we all get voting pads, like an episode of You Bet or something?
Oh, God. That's a reference. Cowell's going to be there.
It's a reference a lot of people won't get. I just can't. Do I want to see it? Yeah, absolutely. Just because I just need to know what this is about. But am I looking forward to it? Not especially.
Do you know the explanation makes me think of, you know, the dance party they did at California Adventure when it flitted between like Alice in Wonderland, Tron, and a few other things in the same area.
God, what was that called?
Electronica?
No, that was a Tron one. It was like the Mad Hatter's like electric tea party or something stupid like that.
Yeah, that's what this description makes me think of.
Yeah, but see, that was tied into that made sense, but at least it was tied into the film that just came out. No. This is out of nowhere. Considering they've already got an Alice in Wonderland maze, the only one of its kind. I know Japan's got one, but that's based on the film. So, you know, that's based on a cartoon. So why this is happening in the studios next to Avengers Campus, I just don't understand. Why have they not put a Marvel stunt show in there? If that's what you are eager to do, why have you gone down this route? It makes no sense to me.
No, give me a Captain America Winter Soldier stunt show on bikes.
I mean, look, the stuff they do on the rooftops is quite good. Yeah. Right? Of course it is. But you know what? Take that stuff, mix it in with the Marvel show that you used to do in the theatre, just put it on the stage out there,
yeah.
And then you can have the rooftop clear for Spider-Man to do something.
Yeah.
Just Spider-Man to do something. I just, yeah. So weird. So anyway, I'll be there opening day. Obviously.
Opening day to boo.
You know, I might. All right, your turn.
Should we do the elephant in the hotel room?
There's an elephant in the hotel room. It's a massive problem.
Yeah, well, I think there's already a massive problem. So we finally got a reopening date for the Disneyland Hotel.
Yes.
It will be reopening on the 25th of January next year. Oh, where do we begin? I'm gonna start. I'm not gonna be harsh on it right from the word go.
Okay.
I'm gonna read you the reasons as to why what makes the 5-star Disneyland hotel so unique.
Okay. I haven't seen this.
So they're having to sell it.
Yeah.
Unique level of immersion in Disney Royal Stories. Designed paying homage to Disney Royal Stories, Disney Royal encounters with Disney characters, surprise happenings with La Troupe Royale Disney, and a magical bedtime ritual. Right, there we go. Then we've got unique activities and services for kids. Royal Kid Club, including augmented reality experience. My Royal Dream, which is a paid service, which I'm assuming is the replacement for Princess for the Day.
Yeah.
Themed food and drink options for kids. Now, this is a new one. Spa treatment for kids.
Okay.
Bedtime stories at Turndown. Then you've got exclusive benefits, unique location at the entrance of Disneyland Park, private turnstiles that enter Disneyland Park, extra magic time, view of Fantasia Gardens or Sleeping Beauty Castle, the Deluxe and the Castle Club experiences. And then finally, cast members bringing Disney magic to life. Ensure an exceptional personalized service, specially selected and trained to deliver an exceptional resort experience. They like the word exceptional.
Yep.
Welcomed by a royal greeter and tours with story keepers. So it actually does. Each one has got, well, three of the four have got its own little tag to the bottom. So the magical bedtime ritual says except in superior rooms or suites. So the more money you pay, the less you get.
That makes no sense.
Okay. Then the exclusive benefits, it says available for all Disney hotels for the extra magic time bet. And the tours with story keepers are from Thursday to Sunday, subject to availability.
Thursday to Sunday. Okay, it's interesting.
So that's their selling points. I'm not quite sure what they've added.
Really. I was going to say, a lot of the stuff just sounds like things they've done already that are regurgitated with a different name.
Yep.
Because like you said, the Princess for the Day, whatever they call it now, it sounds like it's just the same experience.
Yep. There's even a picture of it from previously done.
Well, they can't do a new one to their credit. They can't do a new one.
It's no. No.
We guessed it would be before the Olympics.
Yeah.
That it would reopen. So at least we were on the money with that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so far, it doesn't really sound like much has changed, which in some ways isn't a surprise because it wasn't like they were knocking it down and starting again.
No.
You know, it was a massive refurb. It still looks the same from the outside, just a bit nicer.
Still looks the same from the inside as well.
Different wallpaper now. How dare you?
And there's the fireplace has changed.
Yeah. There's new wallpaper themed rooms. The stories before bedtime, I can almost guarantee, is going to be something on the Google or Alexa device in the room.
Yeah, I would assume so.
or maybe it'll have like, what are they? Are they Toomies? Toomies?
Yeah.
Toonies. The those little figures that read you stories.
Yeah.
Maybe they're in the rooms or something. But yeah, like it just feels like that's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound that exciting.
No.
What else do we know?
Right. So the Disneyland Hotel will feature 487 rooms and suites, including 346 superior rooms, 82 deluxe rooms, 41 Castle Club rooms, 16 signature suites, one princely suite, and one royal suite.
Okay.
Offering all new refined spaces imbued with Disney storytelling.
As I said, character wallpaper.
Yeah. Yeah, but basically, I think a lot of people think I'm a bit of a happy clapper when it comes to Disney sometimes, because I always try and see the magic in it.
I don't think anyone's listened to you properly then.
No, probably
surely
not.
The whole gimmick of all the podcasts we've ever done is the fact that we'll give them props when it's deserved, but we'll also call them out when it's not.
Yep, and I'm definitely calling them out on this because, for me, nothing's changed. All they've done is whack some new wallpaper up. In every sense, even the pictures of the extra bits, like the Castle Club breakfast area, it looks the same. All they've done is replace the carpet and the tables and chairs, and it looks exactly the same. Nothing has moved. The restaurants, and let's talk about the restaurants, because this was where I really wanted to bang my head against the wall. Because I looked at it. It was one of the first things I saw. I saw what was Interventions. And I'm like, well, that is exactly what Interventions was. The picture you have used is basically Interventions. You've not even moved anything around. All the buffet is in exactly the same spot. They've literally done nothing. So it's called the Royal Portrait Gallery at the Royal Banquet Buffet. And at it. Added another €40 to the price. I'm sorry, but this has been closed for what, 3-4 years now?
I'm trying to think. Closed before COVID, didn't it?
Yeah, it was closed the last race weekend. So that would have been 2019.
September.
Yeah.
That would have been September 2019, yeah.
Yeah. I know there's been a lockdown and a pandemic, but come on.
You've had 4 years. And we know as well that, I mean, we know when the parks were closed, that stuff was still going on around the parks. Like they were doing videos, weren't they?
Yeah.
Of this is what we're doing because the parks are closed and we've got time to do stuff. We've repainted Snow White. We've redone the effects in Pinocchio, you know, all this stuff. So we know. Although, yes, there was a lockdown, how much of that affected the refurbishment of the hotel is arguable, because work was still going on in the parks that whole time when it was closed.
Yeah.
And the hotel, like, it's its own thing, right?
Yeah.
It's not even like they can only work during certain hours. They're doing all the work inside, so they can work whatever hours of the day they want to. It's not affecting the park experience.
Yeah.
So for 4 years to kind of come back with this does feel a little bit like,
And the same with California Grill.
What's that called now?
That is now called Le Table de Lumière. And again, it looks exactly the same, except they put a glass statue of Belle and Beast in the middle of the room. It literally looks like they've not even... Again, nothing has moved.
No.
If you're going to do that, do it. Make it be our guest.
Well, I was going to say, like, I know once you kind of do something like that, then you kind of change the theme a bit. But at the same time, you're calling the restaurant after Lumière. You're having a Statue of Belle and Beast in there. So you've done that already.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There was no reason why they couldn't have done that.
Yeah. So, I just, it seems like a real laziness. Yeah. And I hate to say it, I pointed this out because I said to my wife that I was not impressed with what they were doing with it. And she said, oh, Imagineering need to get their backside in gear. And the first thing I said was, this won't be the Imagineering in America. No. And lo and behold, they've put out a video. It's French Imagineering.
I'm surprised
everybody working on it.
I'm surprised Imagineering in general are working on it because it doesn't seem like there's any imagination being used at all, does it?
And it's so disappointing that it's closed for this long and nothing has changed.
And the thing is, like, when this was first going down, you know, I talked about the fact that I'd never stayed there. I never wanted to stay there. The vibe always felt a bit like going to the Grand Floridian, which was that a lot of the patrons there seemed a bit hoity-toity. I just always got that vibe. Like, it's sorry to say, but there was always like an air of pretentiousness. When you was walking around there, you know, I liked walking around there and looking at stuff, but I just didn't like the vibe of the place. And it's never going to change because it's priced, and I guess we'll get to the pricing in a minute, but it's priced at a point where it is a deluxe stay. You know, your average Joe is not going to stay there because there are much cheaper, you could argue, better options for you to stay. You know, the selling point really is the locale, which is, as you said, it's got its own private entrance. It's at the front of the park. It's a unique thing. You can overlook the park. You can overlook Fantasia Gardens. That's the selling points, really. Yeah. For someone who likes to spend as little time in a hotel as possible, I've never understood the purpose of staying there. I'm not going to enjoy the benefits of all this deluxe stuff if I'm going to be in the parks.
No.
So I don't really get it. But the fact that, you know, 4 years and so little, or it's not even so little's changed, it's the changes that they have made. It seems like there's more emphasis on the change of names of things that they've already got than doing anything brand new.
That in general, I was just disappointed, and especially when you consider what they did with the Art of Marvel.
Yeah.
When they opened new bars and new restaurants that weren't existing.
Yeah.
And did something new within it. This just, it seems like they've gone, do you know what? We're not actually going to change anything. We're just going to make it all look pretty again.
Which, in a way, you think, why did you not just do the refurbishment like you've done everything else?
Yeah.
So, you know, when they did Art of Marvel, they changed so much of it, they had to close it for a few years. But if you're just going to refresh it, why don't you just do it like Sequoia Lodge or Santa Fe or Cheyenne and just do it in phases?
Yeah, and even the even the press release says we've reinvented it. And that's literally all you've done, is you've taken something, changed the colour on it and gone, oh, that'll do. And we'll put that in instead. They've taken what they've got and just made a slight change to it and think that's enough.
Now, my understanding, before we get into the pricing, is that one of the famous things they did was character dining there.
Yeah.
During the week. But obviously they also had like their Sunday brunch, didn't they?
Yeah.
Which was normally like themed to things. That was always open to everybody. But I'm certain I saw that this is now limited to hotel guests.
Let's have a look what it says. So the Royal Portrait Gallery says, inspired by the sumptuous reception rooms found in castles, the Royal Banquet will invite visitors to take part in a royal feast amidst a gallery of portraits representing many of Disney's royal families, such as King Triton from The Little Mermaid, surrounded by his seven daughters, Queen of Hearts from Alice in Wonderland, Prince John from Robin Hood, and Kronk from Cuzco, the Mega Emperor. Oh, so that's it. It's got the different name.
Right. Well, that's it. I'm now staying there if Kronk's involved. He's the best.
So they got that confused me. Mm. It's not the Emperor's New Clothes. It's Cuzco, the Mega Emperor.
That's weird.
In this all-you-can-eat buffet, visitors will be offered a wide range of dishes inspired by the various cultures featuring in the Disney films, such as Cajun-style prawns, paying homage to Tiana's native Louisiana. The meet and greet, all it's saying here, the meet and greet will be limited to lunch and dinner. So they are opening breakfast from now on, but it won't be a character breakfast.
Okay.
I can't see anywhere that it says it is limited, but now you've mentioned it, I'm sure I read that as well.
Interesting. Okay.
But this doesn't. I'm taking this from ED92, who tend to just verbatim push out the statements. So I suppose we better look. Before we go to the rooms, the only other thing that's kind of been updated is the health club and spa, which is now sponsored by Clarins.
Hey.
And the sports equipment is designed by Techno Gym.
Everyone's favourite.
Yeah, never heard of them. So let's go through the rooms, because there's quite a sweeping generalisation about the rooms. There is quite a lot of different variants on them.
Okay.
So we've got the superior rooms, which, as I said, 346 rooms in total. They measure 40.7 metres squared. So the superior rooms at the Disneyland Hotel are refined cocoons, adorned with shades of blue and silver and an exclusive collection of artwork in the colours of 11 classic and contemporary Disney animated films, such as Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, The Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Princess and the Frog, Rapunzel, The Snow Queen, and Vaiana, and Raya and the Last Dragon.
Okay.
Visitors can enjoy a mirror with a frame reminiscent of Rapunzel's golden hair, or have fun finding subtle Disney references even in the carpet. The carpet kind of looks... Oh, I can see an apple. Though the worrying thing is the colour looks more like the Haunted Mansion.
Right.
But they're nice enough. They're your basic rooms. They look okay. Then you've got the deluxe rooms, which they've got 82 of, and again they're the same size, so not much difference in space. They will take you through the immersion of the 11 royal stories that we've seen so far, to provide a magical bedtime ritual experience. Animated bed skies will light up in harmony with exclusive paintings to give the room an enchanted atmosphere. So, yeah, it looks like there's kind of like a light fitting above the beds. It doesn't, to be fair, it doesn't look much different other than that above the beds. I don't think that's worth the effort when the Disneyland Hotel in California includes that in their standard rooms. Then you've got the Castle Club, a hotel within a hotel. That doesn't seem to have changed much at all. That's what it used to be. You get the separate breakfast area and snack area that looks out across the park. That doesn't seem to have changed much at all. There's 41 rooms that belong to the Castle Club. They're slightly larger at 42 square meters. Then onto the signature suites. You've got 16 signature suites, which there's three Cinderella suites. With a design inspired by Cinderella's home, these suites will have the feel of a boudoir, with exquisitely charming furnishings and materials matched with a soft pastel colour palette, ranging from cozy from rosy tones for the bedroom to shades of blue and ivory for the living room. Visitors will be able to discover various nods to the settings, history, and characters of Cinderella's home, from the fireplace to the ball gown made by her animal friends, not forgetting her iconic glass slipper, which will light up as if by magic.
Like a glow cube.
Yeah. When I press a button next to the bed. Then there's four Rapunzel suites. They're, again, quite a bit bigger. They're 60 metres squared. This one's the one that they kind of look like they put a bit of effort into. I've got to be honest. It does actually match the colours. The pinky purple that she wears, then some golden colours to represent her hair. I quite like that one. Inviting visitors to immerse themselves in the creative world of Rapunzel, these suites will offer a haven of comfort thanks to their wood elements and warm colour palette enriched by small touches of purple. In these suites, many unique elements from the Rapunzel story will come to life, such as the golden petaled flower that will spread its magic throughout the room. Then we've got three Beauty and the Beast suites. They kind of look like the wardrobe from Beauty and the Beast in colour tones. This immersive suite will transport visitors to the heart of the Beast's magnificent castle, with its iconic fireplace surrounded by a vast collection of books and elegant materials. Following Belle's footsteps, visitors will find characters such as Lumiere and the wardrobe in the decor, while the enchanted rose with her magical powers will light up the room. So again, by pressing a button by the bed. Then the couple more, these get bigger. These next two are both 90 metres squared. So first of all, we've got the signature Frozen Signature Suites, which are, again, three. These suites, inspired by Scandinavian interiors, they've been to IKEA, will feature the designer motifs that make the Kingdom of Arendelle so charming, such as its official emblem, a crocus flower, symbolising the idea of renewal. They will invite visitors to let it go, their imaginations, with a selection of unique details, such as a magnificent mantelpiece featuring a portrait of the two sisters, Anna and Elsa, or a window overlooking an eternal snowflake that sparkles like magic. Then, again, same size, Sleeping Beauty, three of those, a throwback to medieval times with brick walls, Holland arches and red and blue wood finishes. These suites will feature a recreation of some of the decorative elements from Disney's classic Sleeping Beauty, such as Princess Aurora's dressing table and her sublime dress that changes colour at the whim of her fairy godmother friends. So they're the basic suites that we've got.
No, they're the signature suites.
Yeah, they're the signature ones. So they're your basic suites. These aren't the massive big ones.
Oh, no.
We'll get on to now.
They're not the big ones.
No.
So there's the deluxe rooms, which don't seem to have any particular theming at all.
No.
So these are kind of like the third tier. There seems to be five tiers here. You've got deluxe, you've got Castle Club, which again don't appear to have a particular theme to them. No. Then these signature ones, and then two more tiers.
Yeah, and these are definitely in separate tiers. Yeah. So you've got the first one is the Princely Suite, which is again Beauty and the Beast themed. This is 116 meters squared. Guests staying in the suite Princière will experience an extraordinary journey right into the heart of the live-action version of the animated film Beauty and the Beast. So this is based on the Emma Watson version.
Yeah.
When they open the door to this extraordinary suite, they will discover a sumptuous Baroque-style decor from the bedroom to the bathroom and the ballroom. Each room will be adorned with enchanting details straight out of an eternal story. There's a ballroom. Apparently.
Right. What I just need to tell... So this is what would have been before the vice presidential suite.
yeah,
in size. What is really interesting to me, though, is that this room is designed for two guests and one baby.
Yeah.
So although it's as big as it is, like nearly all of the rooms are set around a family of four. This is a family of two, or a family of two and a baby, which is weird.
Yeah.
But okay.
And then finally, the frozen royal suite, which is 206 meters squared. Upon entering the spectacular royal suite, guests will immediately be transported to the Ice Palace that stands proudly atop the North Mountain in the first installment of the animated film Frozen. In this breathtaking space, Arendelle's newest residents will be able to enjoy the hotel's grandest and most immersive experience, as the suite will consist of a bedroom, living room, bathroom, kitchen, and dining room, each room having been decorated using Queen Elsa's ice powers. From the glittering ice chandelier sublimating an elegant silver and blue decor to the materials playing on transparency, light, and reflections, visitors will be fully immersed in the story. To top it all off, this exceptional suite will have a balcony overlooking Disneyland Park, offering a breathtaking view of the iconic Sleeping Beauty castle.
And again, that's got one large double bed in it, so that is designed for two guests and a baby.
Yeah.
Which I just, when you think, I mean, you can't even get prices for these.
No.
Right, these two top tiers. And I mean, this was the case before. Because of their nature, they don't advertise the pricing. If you want one of these suites, you have to contact Disney to get the prices.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't even begin to imagine how much they are charging for this per night.
No.
You know, maybe $2,000, maybe $3,000. I don't know. But it's going to be it's got a bloody hallway, for God's sake.
Yeah.
You know, these are ridiculously big rooms, but with one large bed.
This is Michael Jackson dangling blanket out the window bag.
It's... there's a few details about these, right? So, the suites that we've been talking about, actually, and up to the signature, all have the exact same things.
Yeah.
So these are the things that you get if you have one of the royal, the princely, which I think is a stupid name, or signature suites. You get a personalized welcome. Now, I'm not being funny. You check into most Disney hotels, you get one of those on the TV screen anyway, but whatever.
Yeah.
Private reception and concierge, in-suite check-in, private lift to the Disneyland Park entrance, access to the Castle Club lounge, serving all-you-can-eat buffet and a la carte breakfast in the company of Disney princesses. I wonder if that's why they're scrapping the auberge breakfast.
Yeah. I would imagine so.
Even though they're doing that now, I wonder if that's why, to entice people to do this. Afternoon tea and snacks, all day non-alcoholic drinks. No good for Craig. Even more benefits in your room, signature bathrobe and slippers, Dyson hairdryer. Don't get to take these things home, by the way. You only get to use them while they're there. Handheld garment steamer, branded skincare bathroom products. I wonder who the branding is by.
I would imagine it's Clarins.
Well, so do I. And children's bathroom products as well. So that's all in those. Castle Club rooms give you some of that stuff, most of that stuff, actually. Same with the breakfast. The luxe rooms, you do get personalized welcome, dedicated reception desk, dedicated concierge, access to the luxe lounge, serving all-you-can-eat breakfast, afternoon tea and snacks, and all-day non-alcoholic drinks. So that, to me, because of how that's worded and the fact it says access to the deluxe lounge serving all-you-can-eat breakfast, that's just, to me, that's standard breakfast.
Yeah.
Not princess breakfast, because that's taking place in the Castle Club lounge.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the normal one that's included. For anybody that watches Justin Scard, he does that quite regularly, as he
Right.
He has a contact at Disney that normally books him into either one of the suites or Castle Club. And yeah, it's that it's included in the photos in the press release, the Castle Club kind of eating area.
Okay. The rooms in general have a mini fridge, tea and coffee facilities, an ultra HD TV.
Ooh.
With international and Disney TV channels. Well, I don't know what Disney channels are going to be showing because most of them are now dead. A telephone, always useful. Iron and ironing board upon request. Wardrobe with hangers, extra bedding upon request. Safety deposit box. The bathroom has themed bathroom amenities, hair dryer, themed bathrobes and slippers for adults and children, towels and toiletries. So that's what you're going to get for your stay. But I would say, based on that wording, is that if you want a princess breakfast, you're not going to be able to book one.
Yeah.
You'll be able to book one or you'll be able to get one if you have one of those club level up rooms. But it sounds like that is exclusive to guests in those rooms. So even if you're in a deluxe room, it doesn't sound like there's a way of upgrading to get a character breakfast.
Things are changing with character meals at Disneyland Paris. Obviously, they've taken the one out that anybody could get into in the village. That's gone.
Yep.
Now, obviously, the princess breakfast at Auberge is gone. It seems like a strange thing to take away because they've always, all of them have always been popular.
The thing is, as far as I'm concerned, they are like leaving money on the table by doing that.
Yeah.
Because the people, so the thing is, should we talk about the pricing?
Yeah.
Or at least some of the pricing, because it's all over the place.
But yeah, and that's if you can get it to even come up. That's because they don't want to tell you.
No. No, that's also true.
When you try and book it. So I've literally just done a random three nights.
Okay.
Next September, because I couldn't get the early ones to work because I think they're fully booked.
Okay.
So I just did it for my family. So three guests, two adults and one kid. From the 2nd of September.
If he was really dedicated to the cause, you'd actually have gone for one of the suites and you just made Sam sleep in a cot with his legs.
Yeah, I could have done. They're not giving me a choice at the moment. So we'll see whether I'll click onwards. So it was the 2nd of September to the 4th of September. So, of course, as Disneyland Paris does, tickets are included.
Yeah.
And the total for that, per person per night, is £316.18. So that comes to £1,897.10 for three nights. Two nights, that is, in fact. Two nights and 3 days in the parks.
Sorry, say that again?
So two nights, 3 days in the parks. It's £316.18 per person per night. And it comes to £1,897.10 for the whole trip for two nights.
No, it can't be right. Because if it's 300...
316 per person per night.
Yes, so one night would be £900.
Yeah. Two nights, 1,800.
Sorry, I got stuck on the 1,000 number. Yes, no, you're right. Wow. Okay. So, yeah.
And that's way in advance. That's at the end of the school holiday, so some kids might be back at school by then.
Yeah.
Try
the week after. Just out of curiosity. Yeah. Because at that point, or even a week after that, because at that point, all schools across Europe will be back.
16th to the 18th. There we go. Oh, come on. No, it won't let me. There we go.
Oh. I mean, somebody, there we go. While you're doing that, somebody posted, Mickey from the UK posted a breakdown, and it was saying per night, off peak, 739 £1,000 per night, 1,059 during the summer, and 1,250 on popular nights. So that would be around Easter, for example.
Yep. So September the 16th to the 18th, it does go down slightly.
Okay.
At £272.41 per person per night. So a grand total of £1,634.46.
Yeah, so saving of 300 quid, basically.
Yeah.
And that is standard.
Yeah.
So that is, you get your room at the Disneyland Hotel. There's no character breakfast. There's nothing like that. You're just having the luxury of staying in a considered five-star resort on top of the park.
Yeah.
But you're not getting the perks.
That's not a weekend. That's midweek.
Yeah. So we are talking pricey time.
Yeah.
We are talking pricey time.
Yeah.
Now, what I will say, right, when this broke and when the booking started to open and people were looking at dates and costs and everything like that, and we're coming up with similar kinds of figures that you were, which is, just around about, let's call it £1,000 a night, right?
Yeah.
Let's just call it that. So they were going for like three or four nights. So about £4,000, £5,000. And people were saying, well, I might as well go to Disney World for that. It's going to, that's what it cost me to go to Disney World. It doesn't cost you that to go to Disney World. I will tell everybody that now. You cannot go and stay at Disney World in a five-star hotel for that price. You can't do it. Now, whenever I challenge somebody about that, I said, okay, well, if you can show me how you've got that, I'll give you the money myself. Oh, well, I found this hotel on iDrive. Okay. We could all do that.
Yeah.
That's the equivalent of staying in like Tulshi or somewhere.
Yeah.
On the RER line, not even in Val d'Europe. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's no comparison. So it is, I'm not saying for one second, I think this is reasonable. I think it is excessive for what it is. But you've got to compare apples to apples. Because if you want to go to Disneyland Paris and don't want to spend that much money, you can stay at any other hotel on site.
Yeah.
How much is Cheyenne at that time? Don't look it up. It's going to take you too long.
No, I've actually got it up because I'm actually contemplating heading out there at the time I was looking. So I thought I'd just do it myself. So for one adult and one child.
Yep.
That weekend, 21st September to the 22nd, so this is just one night, comes out £442.
Right.
So like double that. So it's about £800 for two nights.
Right.
So more than half.
Yeah. Sure, like it's, you can, and that was just quickly looking at that. You could look at Santa Fe if you wanted to, which would probably be a little bit cheaper. Sometimes some of the other hotels come out a bit cheaper. It's all a bit weird how the pricing works. But the point I'm making is that you can't compare a five-star Disneyland Paris hotel with your motel on iDrive.
No, definitely not.
That's not how it works. You've got to compare it to your Grand Floridian, your Polynesian, whatever. And the breakdown per night, if you do it like that, isn't going to be a million miles away. It will be cheaper because we normally go out for, like 2 weeks, right? So it probably will be a bit cheaper. But I reckon if you did a 2-week trip to Disney World and stayed at the Grand Floridian for three of you, you're probably looking at about 15, 20 grand.
Yeah.
And you're not, and no one ever goes to Disneyland Paris more than a week because it's too small. You don't need to. That's why they always try and sell you 3, 4, 5 day deals. Yeah. Because it's supposed to be a shorter holiday. So it's really not worth comparing, but it really annoys me when people go, just go to Disney World then.
Yeah.
I mean, by all means, do go. I won't have to deal with you in Disneyland Paris, but it is not the same comparison. Disney 5-star hotels in any park are expensive. They're premium for a reason. I will not stay at one. I cannot justify the cost of them.
No, and I can't either.
It's not even a can I afford it thing. Any of this stuff, if you really want to do something, you can afford to do it. But you don't need to do it.
No.
And what's the point? I mean, who goes to Disney World for 2 weeks and spends a day in their hotel?
Yeah.
No one. You use it to sleep. You use it to go and get breakfast. You might go there, you know, if you put a meal in their restaurant or something. You're not spending a lot of time there, guys.
No.
You don't need to do it. But I do think they've really dropped the ball with the character breakfast, if that's what they're going to do. And that's what it looks like they're going to do. Just set the princesses out of the park and just have them as a perk for this. Because that price there isn't going to get you a character breakfast.
No.
Anyway.
No.
So you can probably add 50% on that at minimum.
Yeah.
For the next, like, rooms up.
Yeah. And I've been harsh on what they've done with this, and I will continue to feel that it's a letdown. But look, the rooms look great. They look lovely. They've made an effort with the rooms. It has got a full theme now, which is what they've been trying to do to all the Disneyland Paris hotels. I just feel that what was such a long refurb, there hasn't been much change to the structure of the hotel. Let's put it that way. It feels like it's the same hotel. Like, all they've done is given it a lick of paint.
The Royal Suite with its, like, Frozen inspired chandelier, it looks lovely, right? I'm not saying it doesn't.
But how many people are going to see it?
Right. And you're going to be paying, you know, thousands of pounds a night to experience it.
Yeah.
So for the most part, I want to say I got pricing this was years ago when I first started doing research for that book that I've one day going to publish, I'm sure. But I want to say the presidential suite for 5 days was about 20 grand.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
If anyone who wants to pay for us to go and test it, we're here for it, but
we're gonna start a brand new Patreon just for this podcast, and the bottom tier will be £1,000 a month. And after a few months, we might be able to afford a night there.
Yeah.
But the thing is, as I said, when it comes to hotels, I want it to be clean. I want it to be comfortable. That's it. I'm literally using it as a base to sleep in, leave my clothes in. I'm spending my time in the parks, you know? I don't know why anyone would want to spend that much money. You are a billionaire where, you know, that is literally chained down the back of the sofa. And you've got to have the finest things all the time. You know, fine, I get it. Not my lifestyle, not a lifestyle I'd ever want, but I understand. But for the most part, I just don't know who this is appealing to.
No.
I really don't.
No. And look, I used to frequent Interventions when I went, especially a great celebration after race weekend. Mm. But at the prices they're charging for exactly the same experience, I won't be going back.
No. Well, there's a couple of other bits that I wanted to discuss. So it's gone quite long. So let's kind of rattle through the last couple of bits that I've got, and then you can route for anything else that you've got. But as we recall this, we're mere hours away from the first annual pass holder night of the new ticket regime.
Yeah.
Which is based around villains and is called Villainous Night.
Yeah. You're about a month too early, but oh well. It should be next month, shouldn't it?
Yes. So, originally, originally this was supposed to, and this was found out because there was something in the code of the website that revealed the information. So this, the theme for this night originally was supposed to be 30th anniversary.
Yeah.
As like a farewell to the 30th anniversary, because that's obviously ending in the next couple of days. So yeah, it feels a little bit like this was just thrown together. So the event is from 9:45 until 2 a.m., which always makes me laugh that these events go on as late as they do, because you wonder why they don't do more of them, just in general. Yeah. Like when they have Halloween, for example, why does it not go till 2? Normally it ends about like 1. But anyway, of course, there was a problem with the ticketing site. So lots of people missed out because it wouldn't be Disneyland Paris without it. I think the most interesting fact about this is that there's no meet and greets.
Yeah.
None at all.
Which was the main part of these events.
Yeah. Yeah. There's, it doesn't say on here actually what it was, but there was a trail. Was there a trail? You had to find. But yeah, they want people to dress up, but you're not going to meet characters. So I just think the whole thing feels quite thrown together and weird. And why do you want to go?
Yeah.
I can't go because I don't have an annual pass anymore. But this would not inspire me to go, oh, I need to get myself an annual pass.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the whole annual pass thing has left a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths, and they're not going anywhere to fix it.
No.
With these.
I don't think so. It's the first one of the new regime on them doing this, but there was nothing that I saw in that press release that I thought, oh man, I can't believe I can't go. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yep.
Yeah. So look, if you are going, I'd like to hear your thoughts about it and what they actually decided to do in the end, because at the moment it just sounds a bit like a mess. And then we've got a new event happening as of the 8th of January 2024 called Disney Symphony of Colors, a burst of highly colorful new experiences. So starts in January 8th. Life will be as colourful and joyful as in a movie at Disneyland Park. Over the first few weeks of the new year, Disneyland Paris will gradually introduce a series of exciting experiences that will add some colours to cloudy winter days, Disney Symphony of Colours. The exceptional lineup will kick off in the most spectacular way, as a brand new nighttime sequence will give guests the feeling of seeing a parade flying above the resort. Every day at nightfall, guests will be invited to gather in front of the castle to embark on a dazzling journey featuring a magical combination of fountains, lights, video projectors, and synchronized drones that will draw animated floats in the air as a nod to an iconic experience that once lit up the night at Disneyland Paris. It's the Main Street Electrical Parade, isn't it?
Yeah, Main Street Electrical Parade in the sky.
Yeah. But the fun will not stop there, as guests will also be given a chance to dance and enjoy some highly colourful moments during an all-new energy-packed show that will be launched on February 10th. This original show, which will be performed several times a day in front of Sleeping Beauty Castle, will celebrate the amazing animation of Disney and Pixar by bringing together Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Daisy, Goofy, and many other beloved Disney and Pixar characters such as Timon, Joy, and Mirabelle, who will appear in a show at Disneyland Park for the first time. Also in February, Tinkerbell will spread her magical pixie dust on Main Street USA to turn a wintry setting into a flowery environment, showcasing all of the wonderful colours of nature. So, yeah. We're getting a new...
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, but it sounds to me... you know what? I hate the way my brain works. Because when I say that out loud, I want to sing the rest of Candle in the Wind. Like an idiot. But it does seem like it's going to be a kind of replacement to the 30th anniversary pre-show.
Yeah.
Now, I could be wrong. I mean, this could be, you know, replacing, you know, the whole thing they're doing at the moment with fireworks. But I don't know. I think because I know the drone show's going, because that was the 30th anniversary thing, I do wonder if this is going to be like a pre-show to whatever they might be doing on the castle and fireworks. Because that's still not been confirmed, has it? What's going on with the nighttime finale?
No, and the Tinkerbell thing seems a little bit unusual as well.
Well, I think it sounds like what they did with the Gardens of Wonder.
Yeah.
You know, where they had all the kind of
the
garden,
like the wind statues, yeah.
Yeah. Like the kinetic statues. So it sounds like they're getting rid of those and they're going to replace it with like more flowers and, I mean, what, topiaries maybe? I don't know.
Well, but if they're including the trees, as we spoke about earlier as an attraction, then yeah, probably.
So, yeah. I mean, I'll be honest, because that's starting from the 8th and then they're already adding stuff from the 10th of February, I'd just wait.
Yeah.
Because you're only going to see half it if you go on the, like, from the 8th of January. Just wait till February and then it will all be alive then.
Yeah.
But, you know, good. You know,
yeah, I'm glad they're doing something new. Yeah. You can't argue with that. As long as it's entertaining, then yeah. I know a lot of people love the shows in front of the castle. Me, I preferred it when they used the stage to the right of the castle rather than the one in the hub. I'm not a massive fan of that. I still think it spoils the view at times.
100%, I agree with you. Yeah, that to me is the main problem with having the stage in front of the castle.
Yeah,
like that. It's like you say, it then spoils that view. You can't walk through the hub. You have to walk around. It's just a pain.
Yeah.
For not much in return. Whilst I appreciate that the stage to the right is quite small.
Yeah.
But
how much room is there in front of it?
Really, yeah.
Yeah, they could expand the stage if they needed to and still have enough room for everybody to watch it.
It's true. Yeah, just bring it forward.
Yeah. Knock down the blooming AP building. You're not using it properly anymore.
But where are they going to go and have their exclusive photos? Literally anywhere.
At the Disneyland Hotel.
I wonder, you know what? I laughed at that, but you know what? That may be true. I mean, it doesn't sound like it's set up to be permanently the home of... It's a lot of real estate to just take some pictures in a room.
Yeah.
Isn't it? So, yeah, they should really be doing something with that space. What they need is a new bloody attraction.
Yeah.
In general, like the one thing that is stopping me rushing back right now is the fact that until Frozen happens, there's nothing new to see. And when was the last new attraction in Disneyland Park? Buzz, did we say?
Yeah, it must be.
2005.
Yeah.
Like, it's so overdue for them to get something brand new. I mean, I just come back from Universal, and I obviously the last time I went was with you.
Yeah.
Right? So that was 4 years ago?
Yep.
Right. So in that time, and yes, lockdown, COVID, blah, 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 in the time that you and me last went, there was a new stunt show, two new roller coasters.
Yeah.
In that time.
And all while building a brand new park.
Right. And what have Disney given us in that same time? They gave us Avengers Campus, which started being built, you know, way before COVID anyway.
That was started building 18 months before COVID.
I'm trying to think if it was 2017 or 2018 at that.
That area closed. Rock and Roller Coaster closed the week after the race weekend in 2018.
Right, there you go. So it took them 5 years, no, 4 years to give us one new attraction.
Yeah.
Because that's all it was. We got one new attraction, one re-theme of an attraction. It took 4 years. Disney, pull your socks up, man.
And Walt Disney World have only had Tron in that time as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. So that's just what's happening. But Disney, I know Frozen's priority. I know they need to get that done, and it's not coming quick enough. But once that's done, they need to focus on Disneyland Park.
Yeah,
I know we're supposed, you know, the studio's expansion was supposed to be 3 new lands. Let's stop at 2, do some stuff in Disneyland Park, then go back to the third land.
Yeah.
If that's what you have to do. But that park needs attention. There is not enough reason for people to go back. The brand new hotel opening is not enough of an anchor to go back.
No, and the fact that it's out of a lot of people's range. Anyway,
yeah.
It isn't enough.
And I love, look, the thing is, we would not, although this has been a pretty negative episode by all accounts, we don't do this because we hate Disney. We do not, why would anyone waste their time discussing in quite thorough detail what's going on to do with something they don't like?
Yeah.
Right? We do it because we do generally like the park. We do care about it. But we're not being given reasons to care about it right now.
No.
That's the problem.
Unfortunately not.
Well, let's hope for some more news next month.
Yeah.
Some more stuff to get our teeth into. But was there anything else that we missed off?
No, I don't think so. I think that pretty much covers everything.
Good. Well, in that case, let's leave it there. I want to say leave it on a positive, but I don't know how else. Just that we do love it. We do like talking about it. We just wish there was something more positive that we could be talking about.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Just we seem to be stuck in a never ending cycle.
Yeah.
Not a Tron cycle, unfortunately.
Not a Tron cycle, no. If only. But yeah, we'll speak to the little bit. It's a really good outro, this. Putting my best. That's it for September. We will see you next month, hopefully with some updates about what the first AP night looked like and if we were off the mark and it was actually the most wonderful experience ever, or if it was a bit of a mess. And hopefully, you know, some new news about the village.
Yeah.
Now we've got McDonald's saying what they're going to do, let's hear some more about what else is going in there so we can start whetting our appetite for that at least.
Even if it's just a replacement for Planet Hollywood, I'll take it.
Yes. Exactly. Come on, Hard Rock.
Yeah.
Right. See you in October.
Au revoir.
Podcast is a That production and part of the After Dark Podcast Network.